Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Between Realities. My name is Alex VR. I am joined here by my co-host, Skiva. Skiva, how the hell are you, my good sir?
I'm pretty good, dude. I'm excited for today's guest, and I'm excited just for VR in general. I've been playing so much. Every time I have a down second, I throw on my Quest and hop into Echo.
Dude, yeah.
So I've echoed myself to death pretty much this week. It's been great.
This is episode 14 of Between Realities. It's pretty insane how fast these are starting to stack up now.
Yeah.
And episode 15 next week will be our final episode of the first season, by the way. Should probably start setting expectations for all you diehards out there that after 15 episodes, we are going to take a break, maybe do some rebranding, rethink a few things, learn from the experience, and then come back stronger for a season two. And at that point, we're going to like reset the guest slot.
Yeah.
And if anybody who was here on season one wants to rejoin us and we have an available time that would work for them, then we'll have them back on. So,
sure.
Cool. Waiting in the wings with us is someone who we're both a huge fan of. And if you like VR, there's a pretty goddamn good chance that you are also a fan of this guy. He is, a few people say he is the hardest working dude in VR content.
I'd agree with that.
Now, I would probably agree with it also. Let's not keep him waiting any longer. Welcome to Between Realities, Mr. Gamertag VR, Chris Hatton.
Hello, guys. How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. You. Did I get your last name right?
Yes,
you Hatton.
Did. Thank you.
Good. It wasn't super hard. Cheers. Of course, man. Yeah, dude. Thank you so much for joining us, brother. You are a titan on YouTube and right now and Facebook, and you're just crushing it and just like really giving a very approachable platform for people who are new to VR and veterans of VR to like check out the games that are coming out and be a part of a community. So thank you for everything that you're doing, man.
Thank you. It's absolutely a big honor to be here. Thank you very much. Yeah, when you say the hardest working thing, I've heard this going around a few times. I think Anthony from VR365.
He's the guy.
He's the guy who started coining the phrase. I don't know, like, it doesn't feel like work. Sometimes it feels like work, I won't lie, but a lot of the time it doesn't feel like work, so it's fine.
Well, and I would say that I would agree with that. You know, it's sure it's hard work to put together a podcast or to make a video about something, but you're having a blast the whole time. But I think the hard work comes into the point where it's like the time that you're able to invest and the way that you balance it with other aspects of your life. You know, like some people, they watch a YouTube channel, but they don't think about the person behind the content creator, you know, or the man behind the tag, as we've coined for this episode's title, you know, like what we really want to know is like, you know, like, how are you finding a way to balance how much you're putting into this? Because it's obvious how hard you're working. I mean, you're putting out videos every single day, and it's like on top of it, like a game comes out and you are playing that thing. Like,
yeah. And with a job, right. And with a family,
right. Like you have kids
and a quarantine going on, like all this.
So,
stuff, man.
So tell us a little bit about like the home life, you know, like tell us a little bit about the family, if you know, whatever you're comfortable, like how many kids do you have, and like, how do you find a way to balance all of that?
Okay. So my oldest, so I'm 39, my oldest is 16. My youngest is 11, and I could never have imagined doing this. I started it in 2017. November 2017 was my first live stream, and it was just a joke live stream. It was, and I was massive in VR anyway. I loved PlayStation VR. It was the first thing I ever tried. I bought it on the day of release. I could have started streaming a year before, but I didn't think about it. I just never thought about doing it. I just thought, I found a glitch in a game. I thought it was funny, and I was swearing and all this stuff, but
like us,
yeah. There's a lot of people out there that I think do it and they struggle with it because they have young kids. It's like my boy is 16; he's doing his A levels. He's amazing, you know. He's walking his path. My daughter obviously still needs that extra time, but that's one child, and plus my wife is super supportive of this and me, and I've also, a number of times, I don't really spell this out much, but I basically changed my working life to put more time into this. So I might not be able to do much overtime. So before this, I'd probably do 12 hours overtime each week, Like my life was doing my work and my on the railway and doing overtime every week. I'd be on call teams, so every other week I'd lead a team, and the next week I'd be in a team. So I'm always used to my phone going off, or my, you know, I never used to drink. So yeah, that was my life. And then I started doing this, and I was like, dude, I really enjoy this. This is cool. So I got a new job, still on the railway, and then I basically made it so I'm. It doesn't happen all the time. There'll be a good 6 month period where I can't do it, but that's when it's hard. 6 months of trying to work a shift pattern of earlys, lates, nights, and doing this is really hard, because you can't tell your audience, like most people, I will be live on this day, that day, that day, at this time, this time, this time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that. That's why it sounds cliche when you say to people, click the bell for the notifications. But if you don't, chances are you won't see me live. So, mm-hmm. It's very reliant on people doing that stuff on my channel. And recently I've literally changed my job so I can do this.
Wow. More.
Yeah.
And you literally work on the railroad.
Yeah. 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 So,
I heard the song a lot.
Yeah. The job's pretty serious actually. I do signaling, which is all about track circuits and signaling and points. And the main thing of the job is basically to stop trains crashing. That's what it's all about. It's to prevent. My job is based on the history of disasters. So,
wow. Yeah, wow. So everyone out there in the UK that rides the subway, no, not only is GT the guy to go to watch VR, but he's the guy that keeps you safe on your commute on the train. So
I try and help stuff. Anyway at my level there, but yeah.
Were you triggered during Half-Life Alyx?
What do you mean?
When that train came rolling through?
Was I triggered? I won't lie, because you set the points, don't you? You actually
pull the points. Yeah.
I did think to myself, yeah, I shouldn't
be doing this. Like, I shouldn't be doing this. No.
This goes against all my principles.
I love it. And you said that you have one kid?
Two.
How old are they, if you don't mind me?
My boy is 16 and my daughter is 11.
Wow. So they're at an age where they can participate in some of this stuff if they want to.
They do. Yeah. They, my son, unfortunately, funny enough, VR can trigger migraines for him.
Oh no. That sucks.
Yeah, that, it does suck. It's just one of them. It doesn't all the time. Like, he played Minecraft the other day. He was fine. I don't know. We probably haven't, because when he does get migraines, they're pretty bad. They're severe migraines. They're not just like, oh, I've got a headache, I want to sit down. It'd be, he feels sick, his eyes hurt, blackout. Like,
so, I used to get those when I was a kid, man. I remember how devastating that was.
Same.
Like, I used to have to go and just lay down with all the lights off and not open my eyes and just kind of ball up in pain. And it was a total bummer. And one day it just all went away.
I was just going to say, I am hoping that happens for him, because I've heard you can grow it, because he didn't have them. I think he started getting them when he was about maybe 8, and then about 8 years old. So hoping they do go away.
Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, the only reason I can do what I do is because I have the support of my family to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously family first. So,
right.
You know, if there was anything where there are days, don't get me wrong, there are days when, but funny enough, I said to my wife the other day, I said to her, do you think I should do a little bit less? And she said, you could do, but at the end of the day, you'd still be wearing a headset. If you're not clicking live to live stream, I'd still be playing the game anyway.
Right.
So it's true. I play games all my life. And like yourselves, the reason we're sitting here is because virtuality just changes everything.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah. You know,
here's a question for you. Do you feel like when you live stream games, you don't get to fully get immersed in the game because you're always checking chat and communicating with people outside of the game? Do you ever wish you could just kind of go in and play by yourself and no one's watching and you just have kind of your own time to enjoy the game?
I do and I don't, because there's two sides to that. I feel like I'm on a mission to try and share it. So I sort of take that one on the chin. But I think if I was playing, I don't want to annoy anyone who plays flat games or traditional games, but virtuality still sucks me in that extra level. So if I'm playing a horror game, for example, where your senses are heightened, then it doesn't matter if people are watching me or not. I'm still in that game. I'm still terrified. And but it does take the edge away. There's I still remember when I was playing what was it called? Paranormal Activity.
That one gets me, bro.
Yeah, that's bad. I was terrified literally from the start, being in the attic and then walking through the garden, and I'd only just started live streaming, and I was thinking, please someone turn up. Please, because in the PSVR, your comments just naturally show up in the bottom of the headset. It's lovely. It's a great system, really.
Right. Yeah, it is nice, except for it won't finish the comment if it's longer than a certain level of characters. That's right. Correct. Like, and then, and there's no way to see it unless you like pull out your phone or do whatever, you know. I started with PSVR myself, actually, and got into content creation just by streaming my firewall matches, because I just knew I wanted to share it. And I was like, well, if nothing else, I can hit go live on my PS4.
Yeah, like, so that's
easy, you know, and there's a mic on the headset and the comments came up. And every time I was playing Firewall, I was streaming it. And there's like 300 Firewall videos buried on my channel right now, which, by the way, do you think that hurts my channel to have those videos sitting there, like 300 Firewall streams in a row with like, you know, 20 views on them?
I don't see why. Well, do you know what? Funny enough, I've heard that thing about people saying if you have low ranking videos, it can basically affect your, I guess, social rank on YouTube or something like that. And so when I heard this, I thought, oh, I'll go back and have a look at some of my videos. And there is some videos that are just very low views. You know, I don't know. Basically, what I did was anything under 100, I deleted.
Okay.
Because I have over 1,000 videos.
Right.
Wow.
In 2 years. Like,
wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. Dude. It's stupid, really. So, yeah, it's, I think it was 1,100 and something videos. And I thought, wow. Yeah. So, funny enough, when you go on your YouTube channel, it says how many views you've had over a certain amount of days now on desktop. And I've actually got two slumps in it where for one day I thought I'll delete loads of videos. And then I left it like a day. The next day, so it looks like I had negative
views.
Yeah.
People forgot you existed.
I was thinking, how did that happen? And then I thought, it must be the days that I deleted those. So I'm assuming, I don't know, but maybe, I don't know.
Wow, that's really interesting.
That's what happened.
That's really interesting. I kind of like that. I'd be happy to get rid of. Although here's the other thing: like it's almost like a, it's like a chronicle. Yeah, it's like a chronicle. Yeah. You know, like that has no value now. But what if in 75 years it would be cool to see somebody's progression in a game of VR generation one and watch them go from level 1 to 50 in a PvP multiplayer game with the aim control? You know, like maybe today has zero value, but maybe it could one day. And deleting that would certainly remove all possibility of it having.
Yeah, so I didn't necessarily delete all of them. I privated some, which I've had my little girl in them, because me and her used to make videos together. There was a game called Dyna Duo on the PlayStation. Where
I always wanted it.
That was cool. It's a really cool game.
So expensive.
I can't remember. As one of the good things about doing this is obviously sometimes the developers give you keys. I think I bought that one, though. I think before I started streaming, I bought 78 PSVR games. I bought every game. My overtime was to pay for VR.
That's so funny. I did the same fucking
that's
thing.
My life too, bro.
I did the same thing.
It just, I was just like, I couldn't get enough. It didn't I didn't even look at reviews, actually, or videos. The only time I watched everything was on the run up to it being released, constantly every day watching YouTube, and then probably watched the Batman Arkham VR trailer, trying to exaggerate, I don't know, 50 times. I was like,
do you remember playing that for the first time? Did you?
I've still never played Batman.
So cool. The first time. It's dated now, right? But I mean, the first time you put on that cowl, oh my God, dude.
It's amazing. Like,
it's just unreal.
Still amazing. Unreal. I took 3 days off work and played PSVR for 3 days constantly.
Nice. When I got my PSVR, like a week after I got it, there was like a huge sale, like massive sale. Like every VR game went on sale. And I do the game share with my buddy, and I called him. I'm like, guess what? You're into VR now, and you are splitting these purchases with me. And I was like, you're buying these ones, I'm buying these ones. And like, it was like $100 each or something, but we got like you said, like 70 titles or something. Like I got everything. I bought everything, and I've played a fraction of them. I have not played most of them.
Yeah, it's tough, dude. It's tough to find the time. It is tough.
Yeah, in the beginning, I bought everything too. Especially, I used to watch VR365 used to do a show every single day. And every day I'd go on there and he'd be like, this game's good. And I'd go buy it like every day. Like, dude, you're making me broke, bro.
Yeah, people say that to me all the time. They go, not another game I want. Oh,
yeah.
Damn,
yeah, totally. So out of all these games you play, do you have like one game that you hold up in a very high regard?
I get asked that so much. And the worst thing is it does vary all the time. That's the problem. And the other thing is, it's like I'm constantly moving forward. I don't really like the other thing is behind the scenes. I tried to play a lot of games for developers. I used to do program testing a long time ago.
Oh,
so nice. I don't put myself out there as a game tester, but developers will know if they give me a game, I won't just literally go stream. I will play it to go through the motions to make sure the controls are how I'd like them. If they're labeled correctly. Things like that. Half of them don't listen. Some of them will tell me that I play too much VR and I don't know what I'm talking about. So I find that a strange comment.
That is strange.
I play so much, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm like,
what? Oh, fair enough. Okay. We'll say that. In any other field, doesn't that make you an expert?
I'd have thought so.
Yeah, it makes you an expert in this field too.
So I do try and help out. So yeah, there's always that, like I could spend easily an hour, 2 hours just diving into a game, which I might never stream because I'm getting to the point now, I've got to be a bit picky about what I'm playing. I can't just play anything and everything. But if I do come across a new game and I think, because the other thing is I guess everyone does lie or tell fib or something, but my sounds crazy. My mother was a chronic liar when I grew up, so I'm really against lying. And I think, the truth is a lion, and I think life's easier when you just tell the truth. Yeah. But a lot of people have said to me before, man, and a lot of people said to me before, the reason my channel doesn't grow very fast is I don't clickbait, I don't make up falseness. Like my videos, for example, my thumbnails, like I've only literally for a little while put myself on them, because originally I was like, I've got to do a reaction to a game that I might not have played yet or something on a cover, and I didn't want to do that because it felt false. But that's kind of like the only thing I've allowed myself to do. I've been like, okay, look, it's a horror game, you can look scared, that's cool, don't put in the title, this is better than Resident Evil 7 or something in VR. Yeah. And then they go and you're like, it's not really, is it? What I mean? Yeah. Little things like that. I've been told I'm not clickbaity enough, but I'm, in a way, I think my community would just be like, what the hell are you doing?
A hundred percent. I think there's a lot to be said about like staying authentic when it comes to content creation. You know, like I personally can be very theatrical. You know, and I can be very dramatic. Like I have that potential, you know, like I can get fucking goofy and I can have like wild reactions to shit that aren't authentic, you know, but I'm not willing to do that. You know, like there's a way of editing video game content that is like that just is absorbed by people, where like, you know, the camera angle like zooms in on somebody as they're saying something and there's like big fat subtitle text on the bottom, like, you know what I'm talking about, like a lot of those videos, which I enjoy, don't get me wrong, I enjoy them, but it's designed in a way that is like forcing you to consume it, you know, and and for me it would be inauthentic to create content like that, you know. I mean, I think growth is relative, you know, because I look at a channel like yours and I'm like, damn, dude, this guy is fucking killing it right now. Like he's crushing the game. Like I've watched you gain thousands of subscribers, you know, like that's very impressive, especially when you do keep stuff like integrity in mind when you're creating your content and you're being so inclusive to your community, you know, and you're not doing it just to gain subscribers. Obviously you're doing it because that's what you're trying to do, you know.
I was gonna say I've come across a there seems to be two halves of people I come across. If you wanted to pigeonhole people, there's people who want to do virtual because it's a niche. Everyone wants, say for example, you want to be a YouTuber and you go, I'm really good at Fortnite, the chances of you getting discovered are going to be so few and far between, because everyone might be good at Fortnite and there's thousands of people streaming it. And then you go, hold on a minute, virtual reality, that's quite small. That's pretty cool. So it depends, isn't it? Like, I've come across people, I think the YouTubers mm-hmm. first and gamers second, you know, maybe. They might do it really well as well. But yeah, I'm definitely like the opposite, I think.
But the thing is about VR is, like, you could argue that my channel could do better if I played Fortnite, because more people search for Fortnite than search for VR. It's a more popular topic, you know? Yeah. So like, yeah. if I was like, that's why like I have a friend who told me to check out that Vorpix thing.
Where oh, yeah, turn yeah.
Vorpix, flat yeah. games. And then he was like, dude, like, you need to be playing like GTA 5 in VR, because GTA 5 is ultra, ultra popular flat game.
Yeah.
You add VR mm-hmm. to it, and now you're pulling in those other yeah. audiences, you know?
But good thing is, you don't need Vorpix to run GTA 5 in VR. There's, oh, a, that you is know, cool. there's a mod that you can go all the way through the game in VR, which right. is great. To me, I've never been able to get it to run really good. I feel like the frame rate has always been there really is, bad oh, for me.
There was so when I played it, funny enough, there was a little thing where, like, you hold F11 and press numlock 2, and it changes the way it's captured in the headset.
Really?
Yeah, because I got in there and I was like, this is not great. Like, it's okay, but right. I expect VR to be very smooth. Yeah. So E minus, he's a guy, Eric Hartley.
We know him.
Yeah, we know Eric.
Yeah, he's very intelligent and he loves virtually. So literally I messaged him, I was like, because I knew he checked it out, and I was like, dude, I'm getting this thing doing, oh, I know all about that. Press this, press that. And I was like, boom, there it is.
Wow, I'm gonna have to check that out.
Right. I did stream GTA 5. I think I done it on Facebook one day, and yeah, I had like the most amount of chat. I think I had 36,000 views.
Wow.
Yeah, damn, like 300.
So that really speaks to the different audiences, you know? Like, yeah, sure. Audiences of stuff like GTA and Fortnite are fucking massive. Like, there are like millions of people searching for that every day. Whereas in VR, what do we have? Like a solid like 10,000 dudes, you know, like that we all know each other, you know, see a lot of the same people on all of the same platforms, like mm-hmm. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Like, when I go from Twitter to YouTube and like go into people's streams and comment on videos and stuff, and I see the same people everywhere, you know, like, it really is a much tighter community. And sometimes that makes me fear that it's almost like an echo chamber. Like, I honestly feel like I create content not for fans of VR, but for like other VR people more often than not, you know, because that's like how
that's the people watching, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's
but like you always talk about, it's always about intent, right? So if you don't care about any of that and you're just putting it out there because VR is amazing, you know, eventually what's going to happen is this coronavirus thing will stop killing the production of VR headsets, and people will be scooping them up, right? Because it's not that people don't want in right now. People do want in, because every time Oculus or the Index goes on sale, it's out again in like 30 seconds, mm-hmm. right? So I feel like if this virus never hit, or, you know, maybe further on down the line, I feel like we would have probably quadrupled our user base, right? Because even with the way it was,
I mean, quadruples even with the shortages, a lot.
Yeah, but bro, dude, they doubled it. They doubled it in 1 month with Half-Life Alyx, right? So why couldn't we go four times? Everyone wants these headsets right now. People are paying a lot of money for them. Yeah. You know, as soon as they go on sale, they're snatched up. So I feel like once this is, you know, I feel like this kind of dampered the whole VR industry right now. It was about to have its moment. And, you know, I've talked about this before, and it just kind of, if there's no headsets available, how do you grow the industry? You don't, you know? So
do you really think that's it? Do you really think
I do.
There's just not enough?
I do. I absolutely
but
do.
But so and wouldn't the hype be there though? Like, wouldn't
it is there?
Like, I mean, yeah, it is, but you still have, I don't know.
But you don't have people like watching it because they're not. First of all, I think what's happening is people are so engrossed in all the crappy coronavirus news and all the garbage out there and all the fear mongering, right? That they're not paying attention to the things that they once were. So I feel like everyone's channels took a hit.
No, right? A lot of people I say to at work, they go, oh, I bet your channel's blowing up because of this. Everyone's staying at home. And I went, actually, for the first 3 or 4 weeks, it was kind of the opposite. Mm-hmm. Everyone's eye was like, hold on, this
on the
is
news.
Important. This is like, this is, you know, there's gaming. Yeah. and fun pastimes, you know, and then there's like a pandemic.
Right.
So it's like, right. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Tell you. So, you know, especially with Half-Life, right? I mean, Half-Life got screwed in this too, right? I mean, everyone and everything has gotten screwed in this pandemic.
But Half-Life's not done. It's not dead, right? Like,
no, it's not dead.
There are people who are discovering Beat Saber today. There are people who are discovering Beat Saber today, and Beat Saber is selling headsets today. And that shit came out years ago.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
So I had a
go on, sorry.
No, after you, please.
Well, no, I was just saying, I had a email sent to me recently. Someone said to me, I wanted to give you, so there was a, this guy done market research, because on my podcast we was talking about sales, like we're talking now a little bit about Quest being out and stuff, and in the UK this was in shops, yeah, okay, so we've got like a catalog shop called Argos, and this is the PSVR averaged 400 to 600 sales per day in a week. Total sales for the week were 5,500. Black Friday and Cyber Monday, Argos, 1,000 plus units sold each day. And this was based on the PSVR mega bundle. So it's like £210, which would be probably $250. Oculus Rift S at the same shop was 30 to 40 sales per day. Total for the week was 270. And that was at the normal price. And the Quest was 20 to 30 a day. So, and over the whole week was 110. Now, bear in mind, like, so hold on. So we've got PSVR total sales, 37,500. Rift S was 2,750. And the Oculus Quest was 1,500.
Not even but close.
Bear in mind, like, obviously there was some out of stock. And then he goes on to other individual sales and stuff. But at the end of the day, I didn't realize the PSVR is still kicking ass.
Dude, yeah. and this is such a great segue because we have slides lined up for some of this shit, and there has literally never been a better time to have a PSVR. Like, there is so much badass stuff coming to PSVR right now. It is insane. And if you can add that to what already exists there, and you're not like completely ruined by like high, like a nice high fidelity resolution image like on the Quest or on a PCVR headset, like this, it's perfect for onboarding people. It onboards GT.
You know what's funny too is I watch a lot of other YouTube shows that talk about VR, obviously, and one of the things I hear a lot is PSVR is getting no love right now, and there was a little bit of a lull there, but I feel like, man, we got a ton of good games coming out right now. Ton of good games for a system that's you know,
I think that was what it was, wasn't it? It was the thing of like, as much as I think in the community, like, so something that Alex was saying earlier, in our niche community, the Quest is like a mighty like smack around the face, like, whoa, this is huge. Everyone's talking about the Quest. It's not expensive, it's wireless, it's free, blah, blah. But then to the general Joe, who already has a PlayStation 4, still to this day sitting there, goes into a shop and goes, what's this? All right, cool. Yeah, this sounds pretty cool. It's still a gateway. It's still a big gateway. Yeah. And maybe, I think the Quest, I mean, I think the Quest smashed PSVR for marketing. Like, everywhere I went, there was ads for the Quest. Like, everywhere.
The big downfall was in PSVR's marketing is that it looked identical to like all of their other video game marketing, you know, like they're trying to like illustrate how it feels like you're in the game, and like he like looks up and like blocks a dragon's
fire.
They not done that shit for like 3D games for like the past 20 years, you know, like they didn't really illustrate that this is like truly immersive, you know, like,
and how do you though?
By using like colorful words and leaning into your perspective and being like, you have never had an experience like this before. You step into the world in a way that is unprecedented in human history and connect with the characters within the game in the way that you have always wanted. Welcome to PlayStation VR. You know,
are you listening, like, Sony? You got your salesman right here. You have to
lean into it and be like, this will blow your motherfucking mind. And that is how you get people to get on board. And that's why we are here, baby. And that's why we have all started this. And PSVR's got me into it.
Do you feel... So here's an interesting question. When it comes to PSVR, do you feel like PSVR is really helping the VR industry, or do you think it's hurting? And I know this is kind of a shitty question, but
no,
but I feel like it needs to kind of be addressed, right? Because a lot of people, the people I know that are like, okay, I'm going to get into VR a little bit. I'm going to get a PlayStation VR. Those, to me, are never the diehard VR people, because they're like, this is a pretty good experience, right? But it's nowhere near even the Quest, right? Because of the cone of vision, because of the controllers, no IPD adjustment, blah, 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 right? So it's one of those things. It's like, where I almost used to talk about this with the Go, how it might be a little bit poisoning the well, because people put that on and then they go, oh, VR really isn't there yet. Mm-hmm. You know, do you think PSVR is kind of holding people back from moving forward with their VR?
There is IPD session adjustment in there, but it's
electronic. Yeah, it's such a pain in the ass. Yeah, it's impossible to use.
I think problem is, once in our niche, I've played every single PlayStation VR game worthy of playing. That's the problem for me personally. So like Alex was saying a bit earlier, imagine being a brand new person getting a PlayStation VR now. Astro, mm-hmm. all those amazing games that they have experienced, and it's plenty that would cover you for a year easy. There's amazing titles on there, but from personal experience, from people that my friends used to take the mick out of me because I'd be on day of release of Xbox 360 in the shop buying it day one, red carpet, midnight launch. I'm there.
That was me too, dude. I spent a lot
And then I'm like, and then I'm literally singing it. Xbox 360 is the best, like doing what Alex did. And everyone goes, gee, I've got to go and get one. And then I get a PlayStation 3 and I play a certain game. And I go, guys, you got to play this game. It's fantastic. And they'll go, well, I just bought the Xbox. You told me to get. Oh, no, but because I buy it all.
I
need to play it all. And, you know, and some people go, when you go on to exclusives, people say exclusives are bad. I don't think they're bad. I think they can literally shift a whole console. I bought the original Xbox for Halo. That was it. Do you know what I mean? So I love exclusives. I think they're great. I think the Sony platform still has the best exclusives.
They do. They got great exclusives. And you know, it's one of those systems where when the PSVR 2 comes out, I'm going to replay every PSVR 1 game with really good tracking. You know what I mean? Speaking of that, have you seen the new things that they've put out on the PSVR 2 and the face tracking and all the new cameras,
the hand tracking
and
stuff? Yeah,
let me put that up on the screen here. So they did the hand tracking, but now they're showing in a patent that there's a there's cameras on the bottom of the headset that are going to look down at your face and be able to watch your mouth and your facial expressions and kind of track your cheekbones and for advanced avatars. So we're going to have that. We're going to have index like finger tracking. I feel like the PSVR 2 is going to be no joke, joke. And if this thing comes out wireless, I think this is going to become the most highest adopted headset out there.
Yeah.
I
mean,
just like its predecessor, which is currently the highest adopted. And I wanted to kind of like reinforce a little bit, like GT pretty much has the same answer as me to your question, Schema. You know, but like, this really is the best time to, I think, to get a PSVR. And if you're trying to get into VR, I think the PSVR is hands down the easiest and would be my recommendation as to how to do it. And maybe that wasn't the case like a while ago, but now that all of these games are about to be there, like I feel like the game that you need to get hooked exists. Like maybe it wasn't Beat Saber for you, but it would have been Skyrim had Skyrim existed when you tried it the first time, you know? So like now that game that you need to fully express yourself and to like find that level of like immersion, that level of like connectedness to the world is probably there, because we have Saints and Sinners, which is out now, which really gives that like melee combat feeling that has been lacking, you know, like gives people that zombie experience. It's a scary experience that isn't Resident Evil and lets you have your hands, which I think is a huge, huge deal. And that, and there's so many people who are fans of The Walking Dead. So like maybe you've never done VR, but you love The Walking Dead, you have a PS4, you see this game just came out, like, Dude, that should be your first VR game. You know?
Oh, absolutely, man. I just watched GT play this on the PS4. What was it, yesterday, the day before? You're going through it, and it looks incredible. I can't believe how close it looks to the PC version.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I've had a couple of people in my community say they didn't get on with the tracking, the PSVR tracking. What I wanted to go back to quickly was, unfortunately, in the last few months, PlayStation VR isn't the headset I would recommend for first people. And the only reason is because the number of people who, as I said earlier, where I'm like, get PSVR, and they buy PSVR because I've like hyped it up so much, they don't play it anymore. And it's purely because of setup.
Yeah.
No. That's,
you know, is it setup or is it because of tracking?
No, well, it's a bit of both, really, because if you need to have that certain amount of distance, like the 6 foot at best, hopefully. Not everyone has that. And then also it can be triggered by Bluetooth. So a lot of TVs have Bluetooth. If you have a Bluetooth device on at the same time, it can mess you tracking with bright sunlight, Christmas tree lights, for example. And then you just get sporadic random days for no real reason that you pick up the AIM controller and it's like,
right. I know.
There's no reason for this. So, you know, it's those little things. And like in my experience,
it's so weird because it really kind of comes down to the kind of people that you're dealing with, right? Because there's the kind of person who will be so turned off by the fact that it isn't doing exactly what they expect it to do that they'll just write it off as not worth their time and just move on with their lives.
That's exactly why.
But there's also people like us who get that and it starts to float and it's like, oh man, this technology isn't quite there. It's because of these optics. But damn, if I had that other headset, then I would get the tracking that I want. You know, like I realized what I was missing when I used the PSVR, which got me to understand the value that exists in the technology, as opposed to, you know, the people out there who are like, nope, it's not there, and just cast it away. So like, is that the fault of the technology or are those people dicks?
Both.
Yeah, a little both, probably. Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, a little bit of both, but if you get a double combination of both, nah, man, I don't think VR's for them, to be fair.
Yeah, right.
At the end of the day, we still have issues all the time. Like today, playing that Mini Motor Racing X, you know, you get the foveated rendering on the Quest games, obviously that's their way of making games look better with less power. Literally, just randomly, I'm getting two massive, like a white square and a rectangle. And it doesn't matter what I do to get rid of it. It won't go until I completely restart the quest. And then one day I'll turn it on and the Guardian would just go, whoop. The whole room would go, blup. And then I realize, like, if you clear the cache for the Guardians, that can help that. But some people will go, if you said to them, like, I interviewed developers a long time ago. I used to do a show which was in VR. It used to be an interview show in Rec Room. And I had a lot of developers in there, and I'd done like an over a course, and they all had the Quest, and there was actually information I had and was on these shows that not a lot of people had about the Quest months before it was even people knew about it. So the one thing that I was hearing about was the multiple Guardian setup. You could set it up in your bedroom, in your front room, and it would remember those Guardians. Yeah. But even now, unfortunately, I could play it where I play it all the time. I could go downstairs and play it in the other place maybe, but the third place, for some reason, it'll go, I don't know what you're talking about, and then it'll lose the controllers, and then you've got to do a hardware reset or something, or take the batteries out of the controllers. There's little things, but PSVR fundamentally can go massively wrong. Like one of my friends at work, he had it, I'd never seen it before, and which is why I wrote a massive guide to every experience, so people, if they get trouble, I can just send them a massive load of troubleshooting guide. Is it constantly turned left. It didn't matter what he did. He might not even touch anything. He put the headset on, it was just going left all the time. It was really weird. And to get over it, you basically had to reset the whole camera up in a different area that you didn't want it, and then put it all back.
What do you guys think is like the percentage of PSVR owners that like use the headset and it functions as intended?
I'd say 25%.
What, throughout the whole life cycle?
Well, no, just like, well, yeah, like every day they go home, they play VR, and it's just like, I would say zero.
I would say every single person at the PSVR has had a issue one day. Yeah. They got it because it's light based tracking and there's 2 minutes. Yeah. Unless, I mean, imagine it. And I still think it would happen somehow. I don't know how, but unless your lighting is always exactly the same in that room constantly, that would minimize so many issues. Like if nothing ever moved.
You know, the other crazy thing though is like if you have pictures on your wall, and this is one of the issues that I have, like the glass will sometimes reflect the balls on the top of the controllers and just throw my tracking off. And what am I going to do? Like every time I want to play my PSVR, I take down all the pictures in the room.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know what I mean? There's just weird things that you're like, seriously?
And all of this sucks. But if you already have a PlayStation 4,
it costs you. Don't have a gaming PC.
And you don't have a gaming PC, which is most, I would argue most people who have PS4s do not have gaming PCs. I don't know if that's true, but I'm going to say it probably is. Because why, you know, that's why you have a console. You're a console gamer. You know, I mean, there's a lot of us who have everything, you know, but a lot of people are just like PS4 peeps. So if you already have the console, you might as well not even include that in how much it costs to get into VR because it's owned.
Right.
That is no extra expense to you. And then you can pay when it's on sale $250, which is less than the cost of a Nintendo Switch, a little bit more than the Switch Lite, which is a handheld. Mm-hmm. You know, like it lands between the two Nintendo Switches and you can have a pretty fucking good VR experience.
But Alex, I can't afford VR. It's industry's terrible because I can't afford it. Everything's $1 million. I see that all the time still on Twitter. And I'm like, guys,
it's especially the
Half-Life thing, right? I got in a lot of heated conversations when the mod for Half-Life came out, right? Because it's like, why would you play this flat? It doesn't make any sense that people are like, well, I can't afford a VR headset. I'm like, wait, so let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. You can afford the gaming computer, a GTX, you know, or an RTX 2080 or whatever you're playing this thing on, but you can't scrounge up $100 and get a used Windows MR headset.
Right.
Garbage. It's not, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
And for me, it comes down to intention because I feel like that mod has every right to exist. Why? Because it's hilarious and because you can, you know, like, I don't think that the mod existing is anything wrong. That
experience.
Well, but who's, but that's like, I think it's the intention. If your intention is to play Half-Life Alyx and you're going to use that mod to do it. Okay.
But you're playing fucking Half-Life
up. Alyx. I agree. You're fucking up. But if, you know, like, let's say I've already played it, you know, I've played Half-Life Alyx and now I just go and dick around with the flat version, just like for giggles, you know, like that would make a good YouTube video.
Timeout. I'm calling a timeout right here, man, because I'm going to say that, like, if I was chilling on the beach in Costa Rica for a week, right? And then I showed you a home video and you're like, oh, I did it too. I was on the beach too. No, you weren't. You watched it on a flat screen, man. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm not arguing.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same.
I agree. I'm not arguing that.
It might seem expensive though for one game, because it might be the only game they've come across. So actually, when I see that, that's how I read it. I don't read it like maybe I should read it as a bigger comment, but I don't. I read it like they're saying, well, a VR headset's too expensive, but I'm assuming they're saying it for that one game. They're not saying we're like, dude, there's like 400 great games.
Who has ever said, all right, there's this, I have a PS4, but this PS5 game that just came out doesn't work on my PS4, so I'm going to mod it to work on there because I'm not going to get the new headset, like the new console. It's a really silly concept to me. It's like, this is the natural progression, right? Newer, better games that take advantage of newer, greater software and hardware and GPUs. Like you need that upgrade path, right? Like you can't just stay on a PS2 forever.
It's still a rare one to do though, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, we all know that it'd have made more money.
And for the record, I agree with you 100%, Skiba. I'm just trying to offer the perspective that it doesn't mean it doesn't deserve to exist. I think that
I still disagree.
Is hilarious.
Burn it down.
Funny. I find some humor in watching those hands float and like like a magazine and like bringing it over to the bottom and like trying to. I thought it was
quite cute. I was like,
I thought it was funny. Now, if your intention is to play Half-Life Alyx and you're using that, I agree with you entirely. You are messing up 100%. But I think that the modding community in all aspects is amazing. And I love watching people like see what they can get away with and like push the limits on what's capable when it comes to games, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know what, I was just looking at my Stream Deck here, and I kind of, I don't know if this kind of throws the thing off, but I want to talk a little bit about that tweet that you that you have me include here.
I'm glad you brought this up. I am glad you brought this up because I actually think there's a really good conversation here. So I read a tweet, and let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Actually, can you read it for me?
Yeah. So it's up on the screen here now. It says, wait, it's kind of,
who's it from? Who's it from?
I can't read it from here because my monitor is a little too far away, but let me see. Maybe let me zoom in real quick. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Sorry, people. Maybe we can edit this part.
No, we ain't editing shit. You're listening to this.
Okay. All right. So it's from someone called Bruce Wright. I'm not sure who Bruce
someone
Wright is,
called
but
Bruce Wright.
Someone named Bruce Wright. And the tweet says, no social VR game should support someone being able to grab you and hump your face. I can't believe I need to say that. I hate it.
Okay.
And that's now exactly what happened in Echo game, VR last night.
But we know, yeah, we know it's Echo VR, right? Like, that is obviously what they're talking quality about.
So that is funny. However, the guy was legitimately pissed.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately. And I went back and forth with him a little bit. Not because I disagreed with him, but because I like to play a devil's advocate, as you can see. Yeah. But I was like, hey, man, so I feel you. And he elaborates on this tweet. He basically has the sentiment that, like, let's say he's losing and he's already salty. And then some 10-year-old kid or 12-year-old kid is grabbing him in VR, which you know and I know is very, very intense, and putting his fucking crotch region in his face and humping his face, and there's nothing he can do to stop it.
No, there is, though. You can ghost people in Echo. You can turn them off.
He argues that it's way too hard to do it, and frankly, I would say that it's impossible to, like, throttle that, because if every lobby you go into has somebody humping your face, you can't spend your 2 hours that you have gaming blocking people.
So here's my argument, and I kind of got this a little bit from Steve Knows, right? We were playing Echo VR the other day with Steve Knows, and he said, like, why don't they have lobbies that are based on age group, right? Now, everyone, you have to be connected to Facebook in order to play multiplayer, and Echo is an Oculus exclusive, right? So why can't they say this lobby is 21 plus, right? That way it cuts out all the little kids that are in there humping faces and screaming at you. And, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think that's a viable solution, though, because A, there's no way to throttle that. When I was 13 years old and the website was asking me if I was 18, what do you think I was saying?
But it's a Facebook account, right?
Like, okay, that's true. I could also make a fake one, and I've made multiple Facebook accounts. And the other thing, too, is that now divides the community and makes, like, matchmaking harder. And
yeah, you could just opt into it, though. You could say, I'm sick of dealing with all these five-year-olds. And it's weird, too, right? Because sometimes I get these little kids on there and I'm like, what the dude, you're like five. You're going to be blind by the time you're 10 looking through Fresnel lenses all the time.
And that's a conversation I actually wanted to get into also, but I don't want to get into it yet. I do want to stay focused on this one, but I do want to ask you guys about that. But, you know, I think, you know, I was like, listen, so unfortunately the game mechanics for Echo have created a scenario where this basically is something that becomes possible. You know, like, I imagine people have gotten infuriated by getting teabagged in Halo over the years, but crouching is a part of the game, and to associate that behavior with a certain type of player. Yeah. Is it really on the developers to find a solution for that? You know, or is it on the community and, like, you know, they're just going to do what they do with it? You know,
it, like, is absolutely on the developers to find a way around it.
You think so? You think that if that kind of thing is happening, that the devs need to find a way to prevent it?
You've got to. I mean, the weird thing is, what, it's free, isn't it? So it's like,
yes,
well, how much do you want to ask for? But
yeah,
I think they've got a responsibility, you know, to people, because, as you said, like me, I'm finding it funny, and I still am smiling about it.
There's humor to be found here.
It happened to me, and I found it really funny. Like, I was, you know, it doesn't bother me at all, but words and stuff like that don't bother me. But I think it falls down to develop, because Rec Room and stuff has, like, an invisible barrier. So, like, if you go into that bubble, they just vanish into, like, a ghost.
However, in Rec Room, I don't need to grab your shoulder to vault off of you to go further down the mm-hmm. thing, you know, like, so it comes down to the mechanics of the game kind of requiring being able to grab each other and manipulate.
Yeah, but what about if it's only a visual thing? What about if the guy was still grabbing you and still rubbing his crotch in your face, but you had an invisible wall where basically all you then, it looked like you had a 2 foot gap.
That's what I see. Saying. I
it's
see.
It's still physically worked. Like he's still physically grabbing you and maybe doing that stuff, but they just sort of vanish at a good distance away that you just think, well, this doesn't matter because.
Mm-hmm. Or you know, that's what, like, locks, like the animation once like you're on or something. I mean, it's
I don't know. Maybe they just make ghosting easier. You know what I mean? Because
like point at you.
I feel like it's ghosting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is kind of easy. You just pull up the tablet, you click on the person's name, and you hit ghost. You know?
I mean, it's really not there's hard. Nothing you could do to convince Bruce that it's easy to block people. I promise you.
Dude, I don't know. To me, it's pretty easy. I mean, it's like 2 clicks, you right. know? I don't know. Maybe he's, I don't know. Maybe he's just not like a super techie guy. I don't know.
That's one thing I've learned doing this is I pick my battles.
Yeah.
I size them up quite quickly and weigh them up to my time, and I go, most of the time.
The question is, like, would this stuff happens in flat games all the time? No one makes a big deal about it.
Right.
People are very inappropriate.
That's what online. I'm saying. And really what we're seeing here, and this is kind of like the devil's advocate point I was trying to make, is an emotional reaction. Like he got emotional because that thing happened to him and like externalized it. You know, it's like this motherfucker humped my face and there was nothing I could do to stop it, you know, like it's like enraging, like you get so furious that like you need to express it somehow, and like the fact that like it was just,
you know, how you
only solution
it?
Is to rip your headset off and throw it across the room.
The only solution is to whale that kid in Echo VR and score a million goals, you know,
and just
what I mean?
Sit there
take
while
it to the court, man,
and he's
take
like, oh, yeah, sure. I'm up in your face.
You got the polar opposite of the person who goes, this is quite good.
Yeah, actually,
anyone
this
else
is why I bought
face?
A headset.
Anyone else want to hold my face?
Those people in VR chat. They're already in VR chat. They're not playing.
Yeah,
VR chat's amazing. True. Christ, that is like another world.
I feel like that's the only thing PSVR is missing. I feel like if PSVR
face humping
and big
face humping. I feel like if they got VR chat, it would be a done deal. Because
why don't they have VR chat?
I don't know.
Dude, they haven't got joysticks, so let's calm down on the VR chat. You know?
Yeah.
They haven't got actually good controllers yet. So.
True. Yeah. True. Why? Where is big screen, by the way? I have so many friends that have PSVRs and they just want to hang out in big screen with me and coming. Chill and watch shows. That was supposed to be out in like 2019.
I'd imagine Sony need to make some money off it for it to happen somehow. You know?
Right.
They probably want to do it themselves, to be honest with you, because when you think about PlayStation Home, if that would be amazing,
I don't know why Home has not come to VR.
It might do the next thing, you know, because at the end of the day, it's clear that VR is on the roadmap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if, for anyone that doesn't remember, PS3 used to have a feature called Home where you could go in and it was kind of like a Second Life, but just PlayStation people. And there were malls and there were theaters and there were like little mini games.
You can dress your avatar.
Mm-hmm, you can dress, you can go in and you can spend real money in the mall to pick clothes and accessories, and it was really cool. But what it missed, I think, was VR, right? Because it wasn't around yet. So they should really, I think they should bring that back. It's a golden opportunity to really take all the work that they've done and implement it into something people will enjoy.
I think you'll see something like that again, because they want, as much as everyone does, they want you to stay in their ecosystem as much as possible. You know, where do I go for VR? I'll go into PlayStation. You know, that's the other thing as well, isn't it? Like, the other reason I go now, if you're new to VR, go Oculus Quest, because that is the same thing. It is a sealed ecosystem. You put the headset on, you're in your Oculus environment with your Oculus games, with your Oculus friends, and in a couple of seconds, you'll be in a game. And the best bit is you can just take the headset off and then leave it for however long, put it back on, and you're back in there, exactly the same place where you was. And that, you know, and with the hand tracking and the pass through, all these things, it's moved on a lot.
If I was a PSVR owner on the fence about VR and I was having a hard time justifying the money, you would still tell me that I should go beyond the 250 up to the 400 for the Quest?
I would say, have you got any games you could sell? I'd probably say sell your PSVR.
My PS4.
I wouldn't say CPS.
That's what I'm saying. I'm a PS4 owner. I don't have PSVR yet. I'm thinking about
getting. I mean, at the end of the day, though, the other thing I say is if you can get one secondhand with a warranty for like $100,
yeah,
then absolutely, like, smash it all day long. Yeah, I don't recommend PSVR. I love it. Don't get me wrong, but if you're new, I try and weigh up all the things I've seen of other people's real experiences, not from the heart, from the head of like, they're like, I don't really want to set it up today, or, you know, and if I do, it might not work properly, or the wire alone can put people off.
So do you think people hook up their PSVR and then disconnect it when they're done? Or you think they just kind of...
I know two people who do that, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Or did. And then that's a pain in the butt. Yeah, that's huge. So if you couldn't just leave it set up, yeah, that would be a huge bummer to get in there. So to me, PSVR was my very first headset. Right, like when Oculus was coming up and doing their Kickstarters and stuff, I was like, oh my God, I gotta get into this. I just can't afford it right now, you know. So I saved while that whole thing was happening, and then PSVR came out, and I grabbed that on launch day. I was at Best Buy with my money, you know, and grabbed that shit and came home, and it was a gateway drug for me, man.
Incredible.
It was a total gateway drug. After that, I was like, okay, now, you know, now I can afford to, I'm going to build that PC. I'm going to grab the best headset on the market, because I can't imagine what it'll be like with really good tracking and stuff, you know.
That's so, my point. Definitely. That's why I would recommend it. And because I feel like if you are just willing, all you have to do is get them in. It doesn't even matter if it's the Quest or the PSVR. I think the PSVR is comparable, and $250, if it gets them into VR, I think is enough. Because even if it's not the Quest 2 comes along, then they jump on that, or what, you know, they'll have known what's happening. PSVR is enough to tell you the magic that VR is capable of delivering, even if it falls short here and there.
So let's talk a little bit about PSVR real quick. We're about an hour in, so let's try to get through a few of these things here, because PSVR is about to have a buttload of games come out, right? We talked about The Walking Dead: Saints and Sinners already, and that's, you know, probably the highlight of what's coming out in my mind, because it's such a good game, right? Mm-hmm. But Pixel Rip 1995 is coming
now.
Is it on
like right now? Or I think I put the May 12th. Four days.
Nice. And what a great game to play on the PSVR with the track controller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really enjoyed 1985 on the PSVR more than I did on the PC. 89, sorry.
I called it 1985, dude. I remember the other, a little while ago, I'd done a stream of the whole game, and all my tags were 1985. No reason. I was like, I don't know anyone from that year. Where did that come from? It's a mix, isn't it? 1985, 1985. It must be only a decade. Let's do that.
You get more and more confusing as they make games too. But these guys are talented, man, because not only did they make this VR game, but they had to make how many different games within this VR game, and every single one of them is really, really good. So they have essentially put out like 10 games at the same time, right? I mean, there's all these different types of platformers that they've mimicked from 1995, and they just did a phenomenal job.
So I love Pixel Rip, as you guys know. However, I do want to say that the games within the game in 95, because they varied so much, almost did feel like a little bit of a shell of something that could be with each one. It almost felt like a dip in the toe, like of the pool, you know. So it's like, here's just a toe dip of Streets of Rage and just a toe dip of Road Rash.
That's what they're going for,
which I loved. Don't get me wrong, I loved the game, but it left me yearning for like the whole title. Like, I wanted to play that 3D Pixel Ripped, like, the whole thing. I wanted to play, like, six worlds of it, you know?
That's how I was with 89, too.
There was only one bit of feedback, really, okay, apart from, like, technical stuff, because we had it a bit early, was with the Streets of Rage bit, I wanted the characters to have a few more moves.
Yeah.
I wanted her to have, like, an extra couple of moves, because it was just punch, punch, kick, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
And I was like, if you could mix that up a little bit, that'd be great. But obviously, it's too far.
Throw a Hadouken.
Yeah, and you only got the two buttons on the controller, right? And that's kind of, I think, what really held them back. If the Quest had more, or the, you know, the Oculus Touch controllers had two more buttons, they probably would have been able to make that a little easier.
But then I think about like Final Fight. At the end of the day, Final Fight for me, because I grew up in the arcades, Every character had a fantastic combo.
Yeah.
I never got bored of Cody's like left, left, right, left, uppercut.
Right.
It was a wicked combo, you know, and Guy as well, wasn't he? It was in like left, left, elbow. Then it was like a right other than, and then a roundhouse. It was a fantastic combo. One button. I'm just saying it was, you know.
Yeah.
That's true. Is actually the game that scene in Pixel Ripped reminded me the most of is Final Fight. I used to play that at the bowling alley. I was a hagger myself.
Oh, nice. I was a Cody.
Nice.
What about you, Harry? What was you, man?
I wasn't really a Final Fight dude. Yeah, I never really played. So I was a Mortal Kombat guy. Like if I was playing stuff like that, I was like whooping people's butt in MK.
Nice, you know, and I loved that like Mortal Kombat scene too. And
yeah,
95. Mortal Kombat 3, man, it was my favorite.
Dude, that was my jam, dude. Cabal, yeah, but they changed the game completely.
Mortal Kombat 3,
it really did. Amazing. I remember seeing it for the first time in an arcade cabinet at a roller rink, like after playing 1 and 2 for years, and I'm just like out there, like an unsuspecting kid, just chilling. I look over, boom, there it is, Mortal Kombat 3. I like shit my pants. Amazing. I like ran off the roller rink straight over that arcade. Begging my mom for quarters. I was like, I gotta play this right now. You don't understand. I have to play this.
It was amazing.
It really was. It was
amazing. I was in London with my friend doing something. We used to basically just jump on the train illegally, not pay for anything, try and get into London. And I was like, I had some money. And back in the day, you had like baggy jeans. It was the thing to wear baggy jeans. And I was playing Mortal Kombat 3, and these great big black dudes, like, if you was a white guy wearing black jeans, you were called a rude boy. Yeah. I didn't really know that because I didn't live in London. So I just got baggy jeans on. And he's like, move out the way, rude boy. Push me off the game. And I was like, and he just took my money and played it. But,
wow.
Yeah. But I was like, I don't know, 13. But dude, there was me just like messing around with the moves. Watching them play it was amazing. Yeah. Like these guys... Cabal, I just remember doing these crazy combos, and I was just like, I'm not angry. I actually wanted to see the game played well. So, you know what I mean? Wow. It was amazing.
I share a similar story?
Yeah.
At that very bowling alley, not the Mortal Kombat 3 roller rink, the bowling alley that I played Final Fight at, there was also Mortal Kombat 2, which I played a lot of. And I was born in 1987, so you guys do the math. I was that old when Mortal Kombat 2 was out. And when I was in this bowling alley, I'm playing like single player campaign Sub-Zero, and this like older, like adult kid, I don't know, he was probably like 18, something like that. I don't know, but I was like young. And this like adult kid dude comes rolling up like with his mustache and his cronies. He's got like 3 or 4 homies with him, and he fucking comes over and drops a quarter in just to against me. I'm like a young kid playing on the cabinet, you know?
Yeah.
He drops a quarter in, and I just spam freeze the living shit out of that guy, and I beat him both rounds, and he was stunned. He was like, I cannot believe this kid just took a quarter from me and drops another quarter in to try to beat me again. And at that point, I was like, holy shit, what am I getting myself into here? Yeah. I'm not going to beat this guy again. And I threw the next match and like let him and his buddies play.
So you're the smart guy. I didn't do that. I was born in 1981. So it was like Street Fighter 2. I remember first time I saw that was in an arcade. And I used to play it continuously. Like the guy in the shop used to give me free credits. He'd open it up, press the button, give me like 20 goes a day. And so I'm playing the hell out of it. And that's anyway, it was cool. I was probably about 8, and this guy's walked in. And back in the day, that's where people used to hang out, like with their girlfriends. People used to come and play arcade machines. And it was like you see in the games now, like they try and recreate the neon, the smoke and all that stuff. It was cool. And this guy come along. And there was a black belt edition of Street Fighter 2, and it seemed to have weird glitches where you could sort of jump fireball, jump fireball, jump fireball, and go around the whole screen. It made no sense, or you could do all these moves. So anyway, I beat this guy, and I was cocky. And because his girlfriend in there, I was like, mate, I'm going to kick your ass. Oh. don't care. And in the end, he chased me down the park. I was scared. I was on my bike, guy. I was pedaling as fast as I could, and he was keeping up with me. And I thought, man, he's going to kill me, but I got away. But yeah, he
that's
was gonna
amazing.
Be the, I didn't get. Yeah, I was like, I did not back down. I'm like, I'm going to embarrass you in front of your girlfriend. And
nice.
Then he just
excellent.
Wanted to beat the excellent. Shit out of me for it.
Yeah,
dude, that's so good, man. And you know what? We have Anna and the Arbory team to thank for bringing us down memory lane right there. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time I thought about that guy challenging me on that arcade cabinet. And, you know, they really have captured that feeling. Like, we've started talking about Pixel Rift, and before we know it, we're reminishing about the days we were kids in the arcade.
Yeah.
You know? So
they killed it.
They have done something good. Yeah, and if you have PSVR you don't, this is one of the reasons why I would say it's still 100% worth it. That's
for sure,
a 1,000,000% worth it.
You know, another reason would be for Pistol Whip, right? Pistol Whip's coming to PSVR, and Pistol Whip is an absolutely phenomenal game. When this game came out, I played this pretty much nonstop. I got really, really good at it until I kind of OD'd myself on this game, and I haven't really played it since. Yeah. But this game is so frigging good, man. I am very.
Well.
It's it's beautiful. It's beautiful, and I can't wait for the PSVR community to be able to play this. I think this is going to work well on that system.
There's so many great games. You got Sniper Elite. I know that's coming to PCVR as well. I think everyone thought that was a PSVR exclusive, but to be fair, I think PlayStation the only guys who really advertised it.
Mm-hmm.
Sniper Elite. What else have we got? Iron Man.
Yeah.
Iron Man, from what I've played, is absolutely brilliant.
Oh yeah!
You're so lucky that you got to get in there, man.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I was the guy in the community who wasn't hyped, and obviously there's people like me who's just going to be like, "This is just going to be an on the rails shooter," because that's what it could have looked like from the trailer.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
I was so glad it was so much more. So
that's good. I'm looking forward to that game. You know what else I'm looking forward to seeing too is they're bringing Gorn to PSVR, and I don't know exactly what's going to happen here.
How
but
many
I will tell you this, dude. Gorn is responsible for so many broken controllers, so many broken TVs,
there's no guardian system,
broken hands. Oh my god, dude! This game, you just smash everything. There's so much blood and chaos. It's going to be really interesting to see 5 million people get, you know,
that
access
this
to this game.
As well, doesn't it?
It does, dude. Yeah,
so,
PSVR is getting serious.
So, like,
here.
Pistol Whip is like a perfect fit, right? Because
it really is.
You're never
totally
expected
perfect.
To do anything other than look this direction. Yep. Like, you have no reason to turn around or leave your boundary other than to, like, shoot that guy that you missed, you know? Like, you're here. And it's just like a really great, just like Beat Saber. Like, it's never encourages you to do anything that would like force you to push your limits. But Gorn, on the other hand, is like the exact opposite of that. This is like that like murder simulator that everyone who has been a PSVR owner has wanted to be able to play. And now,
besides Blade and Sorcery,
absolutely. Yeah.
And a lot of people use Superhot as their murder simulator, and this is gonna they're not going to be used to the wide expression of movements that they're going to be able to make, and I guarantee shit is going to break.
Oh, for sure,
right, man. like it's gonna be so funny.
What do you think they did for the 360 tracking on this? Do you think they tried to work some magic, or are you really going to have to face forward the entire
you're going to face forward? PSVR owners are trained, man. Like, I forget and now that I'm a PC and Quest user, I forget. I'm like training myself now using Echo actually to spin around in real life to make stuff happen, because I'm so used to having just to look at this by playing Firewall that I turn with this thumb, man. I have hundreds and hundreds of hours of Firewall with an aim controller.
You made the same. You made the same.
I'm trained. I don't have to turn around at all. But in Echo, if you want to be competitive in Echo, you need to.
Yeah, you got it. I play it on a 360 stool. Yep. And
I still struggle with it today, spinning around.
Yep. Yep. I'm trying to remember, but it's hard. Like, after hundreds of hours. So PSVR owners, they're used to it.
It is interesting that going back to what you said about you played PSVR and it was your gateway. I actually didn't want to move anywhere. I was really happy with PSVR. Then Oculus messaged me and said they wanted to send me a headset. So I was
nice.
Well, I thought it was a Go. I was expecting an Oculus Go. And then a Rift turned up and I didn't own a PC.
You didn't own a PC?
No. So I had to spend like $2,000. I was like,
oh man. Oh, dude, I would have hit them up. I would have been like, hey man, thanks for the headset, but you know I don't have a computer, no. Right?
Yeah.
I actually kept thinking when it was all going ahead, I was thinking this can't be right. But yeah, so yeah, they were the ones that basically they sent me the headset and I was like, this is a sign, like you gotta get into it.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, like Oculus and PlayStation combined. We're so lucky we got Valve. Fucking Valve.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
dude. Boom. Oh, dude. Valve. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then you got Sony, and then you got bloody Oculus. It's like, and then people say VR is fucking dead.
It's so stupid. Are you fucking mental? It's so dumb. Like, I know. It's ridiculous.
You round up better names
than
make this happen at the moment.
Yep.
Yep. I agree.
Dude, totally my agree. Most liked tweet of all time was this week. And it was me ranting about having to see another VR is dead article.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's like that.
Yep. Was it Forbes?
It was Forbes. But I didn't link it. I didn't link to Forbes. I just simply wrote a tweet saying, I am so sick of seeing these fucking VR is dead articles.
I'm going to see it forever, dude.
It's ridiculous. Well, it makes me feel like there's some foul play. Like, who doesn't want VR to succeed? You know,
those guys, they don't want to see VR succeed.
Why?
That's exactly the comment I put on there. I was like, who, if you're in that sort of circle of tech, when did it become cool to go, this isn't cool? When, like, right. When, especially when Upload put up those figures of what you were saying about the 2 million users and stuff, where it works out that if the figures carry on, there'll be as many people with a VR headset as a 4K primary monitor.
Mm-hmm.
So that, does that now mean that 4K monitors are dead? Is 4K dead?
Like, everything's dead.
where did you get that? Like, where did you get that stuff?
Yeah, it's insane. Very strange. Right there is your clickbait, dude. All those people want is for people to click on their shit. Like, that's all it is. It's journalists that have no talent that need readers. And there that's is a, it. So there they is shit on that, things.
I mean, I'm in a lot of chats with other people who make content and stuff. And there was a video. I joined within a week of being in one. This video must have been put up. And it said, VR is dead. But when the video started, he actually went, VR actually isn't dead. As soon as it started, pretty much. Huh. And I was like,
clickbait, yeah.
What the hell? Like, why bother? Right. But as you said, there's obviously people out there. Some people, it sounds like cliche from the statement, they just do want to see the world burn. They just do want to see something.
So is it just VR? Like, it just like VR hit the lottery or something? You know, because I had one response. Actually, the only response that gave me some, like, an actual, like, response to my inquiry of, like, who the fuck is trying to do this right now? Somebody was like, you know, hey, like, there's still a lot of problems, you know, like there is motion sickness, you know? And I was like, and I made a point to the effect that, like, when somebody buys a boat, they fucking take that shit out and they get motion sickness on that thing. And they go back and they're not like, boating's dead. The thing made me sick. You know, like, there's a boating process, you know what I mean? Like, boating's not dead. Boats are dope. Actually, you just have to like, learn how to drive it and learn to get your sea legs. Like, there's a reason why they call VR legs, because it really is like boating. It's a luxury thing. It's super badass. And you have to learn how to drive and you have to get your fucking sea legs. And to say that boats are dead is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
I agree. Yeah, it's very, the whole thing is really, really dumb.
Yeah.
You know what I want to ask you, GT, is, so you said you didn't, originally you had a PSVR and you didn't really need to go anywhere else. You were completely happy. And then you get that headset from Oculus and then you went out and got a PC. What did you think when you first set all this up? Did you set the Oculus up with a room scale and have at least three sensors, or were you originally front facing?
No, I just had the front normal sensors, the tracking sensors.
So you're still front facing?
Yeah, the only time I realized I wanted another sensor was when I wanted to make a mixed reality video. And to make a mixed reality video, I actually needed a sensor that way. Or it wouldn't have worked, because the way my cameras are, unfortunately, I haven't got the luxury of having a dedicated room. This is actually a dedicated room, but we also live in this room. I haven't got the luxury, because otherwise all the walls would be green and everything else. It'd be so much easier. But my jaw dropped as soon as I went into it, because Oculus Home, I was like, PlayStation needs that.
Yeah, they need somewhere to start in, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, that for me was a real unforgettable moment, Oculus Home, actually. And Google
Earth. Did you have anyone come over and show them your home?
No. Funny enough, like, at the end of the day, when did I get it? I can't remember what it was. I was talking to someone about it, and they were like, oh, yeah, I'll have a look. But they wanted... I was like, no, you'll have to come round and see it. And that's why the Quest, as soon as I was hearing about the Quest, I knew the Quest was going to be a winner, because mm-hmm. you can take it to people.
Easy. Yeah, for sure.
You know, you can just
What are your thoughts on this? I don't want to keep deviating here, but what are your thoughts on this Quest, the Quest S?
Oh, the Quest Nano. I can call it whatever I want, can't I?
Quest Nano. That's a good name. I like that.
Yeah, that's what I've been calling that for a few months. Everything that everyone is hyped about, it sounds like everything you'd ask for.
I mean, you know, if you ask me, I think it's a little silly to get hyped up about, like, guess what, everyone, they're working on another VR headset. It's like, yeah, of course they are. Like,
they're a VR company.
I expect the Quest 2 to come. Like, I'm not ultra hyped because that's I mean, it's exciting, sure, but like, I expected that. Like, yeah,
I thought it was really early, though. Didn't you for them to be teasing a Quest 2 when people that want a Quest still can't get a Quest?
They didn't tease it. Some information leaked, and then
I think they leaked it, though. And I feel like when a company like Oculus makes a mistake like that, it's not a mistake.
I haven't really followed it, because, to be honest, there's so much clickbait stuff out there that I've not even watched a single video on this.
Me either, actually.
You know, I just don't need to. I heard the info. I thought obvious. Yeah, mm-hmm. cool. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. Would I buy the second one if it come out? Of course.
Yeah.
That's me done. Yeah. I'll just wait for the official mention. That's it. Right. Like.
So I do want to bring it back to what I wanted to get that I didn't want to get into earlier, but we're getting a little short on our time. So yeah, I wanted to bring it in back to this real quick. You're a family man, you know, you have kids who have tried VR, you know, but it's a very controversial topic, like children and VR. And very recently there's like Baby Shark VR and people are talking about that today. So, you know, as someone who's had kids, you know, what do you like? Do you think there's an appropriate age? Like, what would be like your like advice for parents who want to bring their kids into VR?
The official age I seem to remember on PlayStation was 7.
Oh, really?
I thought it was 12.
Is it 12? I remember hearing. Oh no, Labo was 7, wasn't it? Nintendo.
Yeah, Labo was. Yeah,
7, and it was 12 on PlayStation VR.
Yeah. Because of eyes, because of Fresnel lenses, right?
It's really hard, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, end of the day, what I did with my kid, so let me think back, it would have been PSVR, because she played, the first thing, she loved Rey from Star Wars, and she played the Rogue One X-Wing experience.
Nice.
Absolutely blew her mind, dude. When she went into Lightspeed, she was just like, oh my God, like, this is crazy. But what I did was, personally, I just sat there and watched, and I was like, hey, feeling, you all right? You okay? You know, and then I think I timed her 15 minutes, and then I said, yeah, we'll play some more tomorrow, which was enough for her. She didn't say, and then a little while later, we tried it again, and it was up to half hour. And then, it just went like that. I just wanted to make sure there was no eye strain.
Right.
I wanted to make sure there was no headaches. That was one thing I was worried about. And any like what's the word where like and I'm sure we've all felt it, you come out of VR and you feel disconnected for a little while. I don't know if you've been in there so long. When I've done like 24-hour charity live streams and stuff, I can come out of that headset and this world doesn't feel quite the same as it did before I went in there. I can't explain it, but there's something changed for a little while. I didn't want that either. I didn't want her to be like Rec Room is the place where she could get lost in. I know she could. And that's the other thing as well. Like, I made sure I was always with her. I was always watching the social screen. That's the beauty of PlayStation VR as well. You know, straight away. Nothing to set up. You can see exactly what they're seeing at exactly the same time. That was my thing. But at the end of the day, you should always tread on the side of caution.
You know, it's really interesting that you brought up like getting lost and like how this world kind of changes, because when you're in VR, like
you know, you like are going, like you're moving and stuff and you're like perceiving things, but like that's all happening internally, you know, like that's not actually happening here in the headset. There's flashing lights and audio patterns that trick your brain into perceiving something completely different. So if, you know, she was super, super young and goes into rec room and like starts diving inward and perceiving all of these relationships and stuff with the people that she's interacting with, like that's all so, so strange because it's all kind of being like concocted within the brain, you know, it's not actually happening.
It could make her antisocial in real life.
Or you could argue the opposite. Like, we don't really know how that affects people.
It could make her unafraid of everyone because she's not afraid of anyone.
Yeah. Because you can't get hurt in VR, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Or some kid could grab her and hump her face when she decides to run into Echo.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
At the end of the day, I always think to myself, like, I felt she was of an intelligence of knowing what's right and wrong, what's real, what's not. And after that, it was just me watching her health, you know, basically, as I said, making sure you're all right, everything all right, how'd you feel, blah, 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 you know. But
I have a 5-year-old and she sees me in the headset all the time and she obviously wants to do it. And I've introduced her to a few things that she loves is BOGO on the Quest. You know, she loves having pet. And she loves No Man's Sky. Like, she's always like, daddy, can I drive your spaceship? I want to go see another planet, you know, and she'll get in and she'll pick a planet and she'll go down there and she's like, I want to see what animals live here. You know, she just loves it, man. So I try to put her in there for like 15 minutes and I'm like, okay, you know, your eyes need a break now because these lenses can damage your eyes if you're in there for too long. So I give her like 15 to 20 minute windows and color space.
Because the eyes are growing, isn't it?
That's what it is. It's the Fresnel lenses and the way it bends light and the way it strains your eyes, and that the IPD adjustments don't go that low for little kids, right? So their eyes are probably being strained, you know. So when I go into Echo and there's like a 6-year-old in there for hours, I'm like, what are your parents doing, man? They don't even look into this. They just stick you in there for like, you know, 10 hours at a time.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
she's 11 now and I still wouldn't leave her alone with it.
Right.
And the 3DS, I don't know. Do you have a 3DS? I know you're a Nintendo fan. 3DS, I loved that system and I played the crap out of it. And I actually loved the 3D effect. A lot of people play that without the 3D effect, but I loved that 3D. I thought it was so good. And I remember when A Link Between, I think I've told the story on the cast before, but I think, when A Link Between Worlds came out, I did nothing but play A Link Between Worlds for like 2.5-3 days. I just sat down like 8 to 12 hours each day, knocked it out. Like that's all I did. And I played it in VR the whole time, in 3D the whole time. And when I was done playing the game, closed it up. My buddies are like calling me upstairs to go play a game of Smite on PC. And I go up there and I'm looking at my computer screen and the images on the computer screen had the effect. It was all 3D, dude. Like, I am not shitting you. Like, the player cards were popping out and had depth. And I was like, what the fuck? It like locked my eyes and like was like, oh, this is how you perceive stuff now. You know, so it's very interesting because if like I can create that just by like a few hours of looking at a stereoscopic image, imagine when you're developing, having a fucking HMD on your head, blasting the stereoscopic images over each eye for hours and hours like that. Like, very, very interesting stuff, man.
How did you get on with the AR? Do you remember the AR cards
of the 3D? Yeah.
How amazing were they?
Yeah, I thought those were really cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point, man. Those are
no one ever talks about it.
No, they really should.
I know, I know.
Yeah, everyone goes AR, and the funny thing is, I speak to some people. They go, "What is AR?" And I think you can go and get it for like £50, an experience like just putting a card on the table, QR code, and seeing like a volcano come out of your desk and have like. I remember my son. He had like there was this game where you shot the little guys with the helicopters on the head, and he had photos of his friends. There's like these little things that he chased around the house shooting.
That was so much fun. I remember that game. I liked that a lot.
Yep.
That's augmented reality, isn't it? That is something, you know, That's awesome, mate.
Nintendo dabbles in all kinds of things, right? And then and they never really get the credit they deserve. They were the first on VR with the Virtual Boy. You know, they're first with motion controls.
They just need to make money on it.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely, man. Yeah. They're always behind when it comes to hardware specs, but they're always ahead when it comes to innovation. So,
Breath of the Wild, dude, there's no better, in my mind, open world game there isn't. I've never played it.
Yeah, but don't play it in Labo in VR.
Oh my god, dude.
What, Elf?
So there, did you know that they added a like Labo functionality to a couple
VR support games? Breath of the Wild.
And they did the Breath of the Wild. Did you see that, GT? Odyssey. Oh
yeah,
my god.
I think I might have, yeah.
I put that shit on my head and I probably played for like 10 or 15 minutes and it crushed me, dude. I was on the couch for like 2 hours. Like I could, it ruined me.
Really bad. They did a bad job.
Terrible.
Oh, crap. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it really hurt me. And I could see somebody saying VR is dead if that was their VR experience. Because I felt like I was dead.
So the things that come with the Labo, the experiences that come specifically for use with the things that you build are pretty good. Pretty good, right? But it's just the whole Zelda thing. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
It's bad boy, isn't it?
That's awesome. Very cool. Like 3 hours to build that thing, right?
It feels pretty damn good to pull that like plunger and like
Yeah, man, it was cool. It's good.
Yeah, the way they add haptics into the cardboard
with rubber bands.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like it's amazing. It was just a shame that you had to keep the thing on your face.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted it to go that little bit further.
Yeah, with a strap or something.
Yeah, but the screen is so blurry when you move your head. It's not low latency.
It's a 480p image. It's got to be.
And who's it intended for? Is it intended for us with fucking VR YouTube channels? Yeah, or is it intended for a 6-year-old to have their first VR image? You know, like,
I'm pretty sure, isn't it? Like when it's undocked, the Switch is 720.
It's 720 undocked. Yeah.
So I'm sure. So it would have been a 480p image, wouldn't it? I'm guessing.
Yeah, because they got to cut it in half. But the interesting thing is they're supposed to have a pro version coming out of the Switch that's going to have great hardware. So I'm wondering if they're going to try to implement some better VR with that.
I can't see him getting into the VR race for such a long time.
No. Probably. No, I don't think so. That's not the intended use for that thing. It would give VR a bad name because all the Switch owners would try it and puke their brains out and then do anything again for another year.
True. Nice. True. I don't know. What do you think? You think we should wrap up here? We're almost at an hour and a half.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I could honestly do this forever.
I could too.
Did we actually get anything done that you wanted to talk about?
A little bit, yeah. But this is this was what we were talking about before the show. Like, this is kind of more what we're trying to get back to. You know, a little bit less, hey, here's the bullshit, and more like, hey, let's just chill and have a good, comfortable conversation and get into the good stuff.
I do like dipping into the news, but I like dipping into the people that we're with a little bit more.
He likes to dip into your GT.
Dip in. Let's dip into some GT.
I didn't feel a thing. It's fine.
Boom. Boom.
Like, at the end of the day, like, if you guys ever want to do this without trying to like promote me or make it about me, you just want to make it about Between Realities, but through a conversation at any time or whatever, I'm well up for that.
Absolutely.
Time zones allow it.
We'll do whatever we have to bend to GT's schedule. You're a busy dude, and we're just super super happy that
and you're across the pond too, so very different time zone. And so we are pre-recording this. This is not a live video. This is we're just going to set it as a premiere. But yeah, we didn't. GT gracefully said, "Oh, I'll totally do it live. It'll be like 1 to 3 in the morning." It's like, dude, I can't do that to you, man. I just can't do that to you. But we appreciate you being flexible. Yeah.
So before we go, there's a couple of things that we need to get into. First of all, we have a kind of a special shout out to our Patreon supporter.
Oh yeah.
Yes, thank you. So thank you. Let me see, where's my Patreon button? There it is. So thank you to Jonathan Zug this week, our Patreon supporter, who sent me some toilet paper because I have not seen toilet paper since this thing began, and my butt was hurting from like Chipotle napkins, right? So thank you for saving my ass. to our Patreon. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
You must have been like cleaning it with a shower head or something.
What dude, it was terrible, man.
He's like, I'm not telling you.
It's no fun. Yeah, we don't even want to get into this shit.
We don't get into this shit.
We're not getting into this shit.
No, he got into the shit. We don't have to.
But thank you to Zug for saving my ass, literally.
That's awesome. Pretty good. Every week.
Oh, and the Gleam giveaway.
Yeah, every week we give something away. Yep. We've been trying to give away accessories, but everybody keeps taking game codes.
Yeah.
And the winner this week was Gunnar Schubert from Germany.
Yeah.
Hello, Gunnar. Thank you for being a part of the community. And he chose Fallout 4 in VR for his free game.
Fantastic. Yep.
Which great I have game. Some that's inside gonna... information. I don't know if you guys knew this, but it won't be long. B-Haptics is integrating full support for the tax suit into Fallout 4 VR.
Ooh, nice.
Yep. A little bit of insider info for you if you hear on Between Realities. That's coming.
Very cool. Very cool.
B-Haptics, I've actually been talking to B-Haptics a little bit, and they have a few games coming out with integrated functionality.
Dude, that's where they got to put their focus. You know, I have one of those vests and I never put it on because there's like two games that support it. So it's like, who's going to buy it if there's no games that support it?
Yep. Yeah. So the next one is Apex Construct on the Quest.
Ooh, nice. That's a good one.
Yep. Apex Construct on the Quest is going to have tax suit support. So I think that'd be super, super awesome. I'm going to try to play that the day that it's available.
Very cool.
Next week is our final episode. I guess you can call it a season finale if you want. And it will be the first time
of the season, just of the season. We are coming
season back. Finale. Yeah. Right. We're going to take a break and we don't know how long, you know, probably a couple of weeks to a couple of months. It is hard to say depending on what is going to happen, but I love doing this so much that I am going to try to make this break as short as possible and get some shit done. You know, while we're taking the break. So, so next week, it'll be the first time that we've had four people on it because we have invited the boys from Rendered Reality to join us and we are going to be here. Yep.
Yep. Gonna have a foursome. Not sure. Gonna have a
foursome. Man, Skiba, you love the Freudian slips.
I know, right?
You love them.
Hopefully, we'll get the whole thing working. Thank you for GT as well for helping us with some of the technical issues that we've been experiencing week over week, where people have been shrinking. As you've noticed right here and right here on this TV, GT has not shrunk down to the size of a grain of sand. So he's stayed the same the whole time. Thank you for that, dude. Really appreciate your help. Hopefully we'll have much smoother running shows. And when we do go off for the season, we want to concentrate on some of the technical issues and then, you know, do some branding, hopefully get a new set going. And, you know, we'll come back at a million miles an hour with some great guests.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, GT, can't believe I'm even going to say this, but if people want to hit you up, how do they do that? What's your favorite way to have people get in contact with you?
Oh, man, I'm everywhere. Literally, I am on, I think, on most social media. So you just type in Gaming Tag VR. And
GT is like, he's like a superhero in the VR community. The dude will respond to you if you go onto his stuff. Send him a message, go on his chats. Like, he's there. He's super active in the community. And I was saying before the show, GT, I really feel like the thing that separates you from everyone that I see is your ability to connect with your entire community. Like, you have dozens and dozens of people dropping into your chat all the time, and you somehow find a way to make an individual connection with every single person who reaches out to you. And that is like so beautiful and so appreciated and so valuable. So thank you so much for everything that you do, man.
Cheers, man. I just like you guys, the same reason you're doing this. I just love VR. And that was my way of showing how much I like it, is to share it. So,
Chris Hatton, Gamertag VR. I feel like I had to use your name and introduce the man behind the tag. So thank you so much for joining us, dude.
I didn't really thought about that. I didn't really thought about that. People would just call me GT because it was just easier to type.
Yeah,
that's all it came about. It was like in the chat. It was like, hey, GT. And in the end, I was like, I could run with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You didn't get the pick. You didn't pick that. Your community picked that. They're like, this is what we're calling you.
Yeah, they love it. I was thinking, oh, will it work? Because it sounds like a souped-up sports car, but it seems to have, everyone just seems to accept it. So it's
awesome. Yep. You are widely accepted, my friend. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between Realities.
And thanks for all that you do for VR. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thank you to our audience for joining us for this podcast. Absolutely. We like to be live, but when we got guys across the pond, we usually pre-record. And that's another thing that we'll be talking about. When we're doing season two, we might change the day or time so we can kind of include more people during the live broadcast. So we'll see you next week for episode 15, season finale with Rendered Reality. I'm Alex VR. That's Skiva. Thank you again to Gamertag VR. Check him out. And we will see you all very soon, because we're all in the same community and we love each other. Take care, everyone.
Big hugs. Take care, guys.
Adios.
See ya.
Later.